Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we have a full house here for you today. Several of us are back from the ASI Power Summit, which was held last week in Park City, Utah. Michelle.
Yes.
You were a key player in the Park Summit. What was your favorite Park Summit. What was your favorite thing about the Power Summit last week?
You know, we had a speaker. God, what was his name? Oh, yeah, it was Michael Bernstein. And he was just fantastic.
You should have seen during that Michelle Bell sitting in the front row like a puppy dog.
I saw her.
It was disturbing.
Like Melinda's new Basset Hound puppy?
Yeah, kind of.
All right, for those people who do not know, tell us who Michael Bernstein is and what he talked about.
Michael Bernstein is the chairman of the board of PolyConcept, which is a billion-dollar global supplier. Of course, they're the parent company of PolyConcept North America. And he did a one-on-one Q&A with Tim Andrews, who's our CEO, for half an hour on global trends that impact the industry, things about PolyConcept, but really the global marketplace, I would say. And it was really fascinating to hear his take. And he was very honest about how, you know, Europe is having some problems. They're down 15% year over year as far as promotional product sales. And he was very forthright. And people loved him. He got really high scores.
He did. And the U.S., though, however, is up about single digits.
Yes.
Andy, is that the... That's the latest counselor confidence.
Mid-single digits.
Andy, you also joined us at the Power Summit. What was
I joined you.
What was your favorite little tidbit that you took back from the speakers?
I would say that Adrian Gostick, who was a keynote on the first day, had some great messages about employee motivation and ways to get employees engaged.
And he's the author of the best-selling book, The Carrot Principle.
That's correct.
Cute.
He is cute.
Yes. After I did a video with him and that got posted, I got an email from Kathy saying he was cute. And I said, would you like me to tell him that?
I said, no, I'll just direct message him.
And he brought promotional products with him. He was throwing out ad specialties.
He was throwing out stuffed carrots.
So what did you learn from Adrian?
I learned that managers need to do a better job of involving all their people in the process of in how they come up with their strategies. He said too often people are told about strategies moving forward and that they, you know, just go do it. And that was also part of Michelle's panel, which followed right after Adrian Gostick, which was a panel of young sales reps in the industry. And a couple of them said exactly that, which was, you know, I want to be involved on the ground floor. I'm a salesperson, yes, so I'm going to go sell whatever you give me to sell as far as what those products are. But I want to be involved in the idea generation and, you know, knowing from the beginning that my input is valued.
That was a really important tip. The other thing I took away from him, which is interesting, is he cited a Harvard Business Review study that showed the difference between high-performing teams and low-performing teams.
Yeah.
High-performing teams, the manager, typically says 5 positive things for every negative thing he or she says. And on the low-performing teams, it's about 1-to-1. And, you know, think about that. 5 positive. I mean, Kathy always jokes, I sandwich my negative in between 2 positives. But apparently I need 5 positives. So I practiced that on Joe last week when we were working on something together. I complimented
you. And I reciprocated.
You did.
Reciprocated.
But, you know, if you really think about it, how much positive feedback are you giving to people? It's probably not enough, even if you're thought of as a positive manager. So
yeah,
that's what I got out of it.
Yeah, I would also say a key point along those lines that he really made is that he made the business case for getting employees engaged in the office. It's not just a nice to have type of thing, which many people view employee motivation and employee engagement as a soft thing, and it's not. He had studies that showed that companies with highly engaged employees simply do better. They are more successful, they make more money, they're more profitable, and have higher revenue.
Yeah, so. He's surveyed 300,000 companies, so he definitely has proved that for sure. Anyway, lots of great info on the Power Summit. You can see it in all of our magazines, including the next issue of Counselor. Anyway, we've got Joe Haley as well
here. I'm here.
And Kathy Houston. We missed you guys last week. We have a special guest in the studio. We have Tammy.
Is she
going to
talk?
ASI
I want to hear
marketing.
Her accent.
She can talk.
Say Tammy,
hello.
Where are you from?
I'm from Perth, Western Australia.
Okay.
I could say hello or g'day. So it's up to
I'm
you.
Sorry, and I just said that you had a British accent, so I
That's
was
okay.
incorrect.
My dad's from London, so you're half right.
All right, so you're going to be marketing the shows. What's your new job at ASI?
Senior copywriter.
All right.
Nice.
Another writer. Vinny is going to be answering your phone calls today at 215-953-4979. Today's topic is where to find the best sales talent. If you have ideas on that or any questions about how to find good salespeople, Joe, what does the ASI Radio Show prize pack consist of today?
It includes a $25 Visa gift card, your editorial radio host finger puppets, the hand fans, and we're going to throw in a Joe Show coffee mug, travel mug.
All right. Well, that
that's right
good.
Down there, yes.
Start this calling us now, 215-953-4979, and we will talk about finding the best talent, sales talent. Excuse me. And Mina, of course, is manning our soundboard this morning, so all the lovely sound effects you'll be hearing will be courtesy of Mina. Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
Well, we have 5 steps to keeping your top performers. We have 10 reasons customers will pay you more. We're also going to look at 5 words that customers absolutely hate to hear. We're going to look at company culture, how to keep your entrepreneurial edge as you grow. We have 4 sales questions you absolutely must be asking your clients, Andrew. We have some other topics on there. Something that drinking and Michelle. Drinking at work and Michelle.
Those two don't go together.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you why it's a good thing to drink at work, believe it or not.
Okay.
I agree.
Haven't we done this segment before?
Probably.
We like to revisit that every once in a while.
Okay, great.
We like to reinforce the idea.
We also have our favorite things, but let's start the whole thing off with the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy.
All right, thanks, Joe. We begin this morning with acquisition news. Supplier firm AT Cross has finalized its sale to Clarion Capital. The private equity firm originally agreed to purchase the brand in July for a cash price of $60 million. Following the deal, Clarion will keep the Cross brand name as well as all existing Cross offices, facilities, and personnel. More M&A news now. Top 40 distributor American Solutions for Business has acquired 3 individual companies located in Florida, Ohio, and Nevada in an effort to expand its national presence. Alpha Print and Promo, Performance Forms, Inc., and Allied Products of Las Vegas will now all sell under ASB. More Top 40 news now. Distributor firm Proforma has launched a new program called Proforma Max, aimed at large industry distributors. The program is meant to help grow industry companies and provide an alternative exit strategy for distributor owners. Check out Promogram today for details. Research news now. A new survey from ASI released during last week's Power Summit helps prove the ROI of promotional products. The study shows that the cost per impression of ad specialty items is just over half a penny. Further, data shows that 86% of American consumers remember the advertiser imprinted on promo items. Go to asicentral.com/study for details. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what is hot for today?
Well, it's starting to get a little cooler, so we're going to look at a fleece scarf that's been dye sublimated. You know what that means?
Sure.
We'll find out.
Thank you, Kathy.
All right. We have our friend Leighton Lee from ETS Express on the line. He's going to give us today's product safety minute. Good morning, Leighton.
Good morning, ASI. I hope everyone's doing well.
Good. Thank you.
Great. Well, I'm sitting here in my patio. It's a beautiful sunny day in SoCal, and I'm dressed in my Santa Claus suit already.
Wow.
What does that mean?
That's quite a vision.
Well, the reason why is today's Product Safety Minute is about the holiday season, and I know that all of us are kind of anticipating ramping up for holiday orders and stuff, and from a product safety standpoint, it is an important time of year for all of us to be cognizant of a couple of dangers, so to speak. And very quickly, I think, you know, children are very susceptible during the holidays. And, during all year, during the whole year, children are always susceptible to safety issues and product dangers, but especially around the holidays because they're just so inundated with so much stuff. And mom and dad come home with things, you know, promotional items that they may have gotten from their work or from their company or from other functions they may have attended. And so they'll just plop them at home and sometimes forget that children might be attracted to them. So we as distributors and suppliers need to be cognizant of that. And so when we're making items, things like stress balls and executive desk toys should be properly labeled. So that parents can understand that these are not intended for children. Things that might be decorated with children's logos or childlike cartoons and things should also be looked at very carefully to ensure that the item may not pose a danger or risk to children. Now, around the holidays, a lot of our clients, meaning end buyers, want things to be packed or co-packed with promotional items. They want food. They may want Hershey's chocolate kisses to be packed with an item, or candy canes, or I've seen things like potpourri packets. Those things are great, but unfortunately, there are a couple of things that have to be observed, best practices to be observed when we're dealing with food items and things that might be harmful to other human beings. Sanitary purposes, sanitary concerns. When you're packing food into an item or with an item, make sure that they're individually wrapped, because we don't know how sanitary those products might be, promotional products might be. So always ensure that the food items, the candies and whatnot, are individually packed. You also may want to think about putting nutritional information in with them so that people are aware of what these items are, how many calories. It's all required by FDA. Anything that might have nuts or gluten, food allergy warnings should be included. So what do? In the industry? Just be mindful. Distributors are in the driver's seat in this boat, because they're the ones that have the direct contact with their end buyer clients. So find out what the clients are going to do, and distributors should ask a lot of questions and advise their suppliers of the information that they get from their customers, so that we're all on the same page and making safe products for the holidays. So an early happy holidays to all of you. I hope you have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you, Santa. And thanks for that and some good advice as we approach the big holiday selling season. We're going to take your calls now. The call, today's call and question is, where to find the best sales talent? If you have comments or questions about that, call us now, 215-953-4979, and we'll give you a Visa gift card and other prizes if we put you on the air. On line four, we have our friend Stanley from California. Good morning, Stanley.
Good morning.
Wow. How about that?
How are you guys doing?
We're great. I guess you have some ideas on how to find some good sales talent or some questions.
Yes. One idea, I mean, obviously once you hire somebody, obviously recognize them. Even if they're your only employee, recognize them, feedback. I like what you guys said earlier. You know, if you're going to say something negative, follow it up with five things positive. Although my last relationship, maybe that's why it ended, because it was 10 things negative and they never got around to the positive. So, but I'm sure it's coming. So the question I had was, do you find that it's better to find talent from the existing talent pool, like looking for people that are already stealing people from other companies, or do you find it's better to bring people in that have no experience?
I think Michelle wants to answer that question.
Yeah, I'm going to say to bring people in with no experience, and here's why. If I learn nothing from my panel discussion at the Power Summit, Krista Taylor, who is ASI's sales rep in the digital arena
and was
ASI,
Employee of the Year.
She was Employee of the Year, and her sales were up 111% over 4 years, had zero sales experience when she started with ASI. Not even sales experience in
Wasn't
the industry.
Wasn't she a model? Or
she was in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
She did like dinner theater and things like that. So she had no sales experience whatsoever. The reason that people stay away from that in this industry is because of the learning curve about training people. It costs money to train them, and it costs money to get them up to speed. But I think every single person on my panel, all four of the younger people who were on that panel,
were all
had no
experience dollar
sellers in this industry. And, you know, just a little bit of time it took them. Josh Abrahami from Jack Nadel. In 18 months, he went from making $600 every other week to being their top salesperson doing $5 million a year. So you just have to put in a little bit of time. But I don't think people should shy away from hiring people outside the industry. In fact, I think it's a good thing to bring in kind of a new attitude, a new perspective, mm-hmm. new blood.
Yeah.
And what do you think about commission only versus commission only, but with as they're starting out with some sort of stipend guarantee or draw? Or
you know, Stanley, I think that that's why, from the other side, I think that's why a lot of younger salespeople shy away from the industry, because they get scared by the commission only. Josh Abrahami is one example of somebody who was commission only. In his perspective, it made him work harder. it made him really want to fight for the sales. But I don't think it's such a bad thing. What do you think, Andy, to do maybe
I
half?
Think most people just starting out are going to need some kind of draw.
I think that the commission-only aspect of this industry really does give it a bad name. I would say when you're hiring people specifically from outside the industry, I think that you absolutely need to start them off with some sort of salary, at least for the first year, that could decrease or rather just become a bigger portion could come from commission as they move forward. But I think that does give this industry a little bit of a bad rep, and I think it's something that companies should look at. If you're hiring a salesperson, you should see it as an investment and not just a payoff for you on the back end, but you're investing in this person to help grow your company, and to do that you have to have some upfront money as well.
All right. Well, hope that gives you some good ideas, Stanley. Thanks for calling.
Have a great day.
Have a great day. On line two, we have Steve. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I think your last caller, I couldn't hear him. I think he may have asked my question. I'm curious about, I was kind of torn over the 50-50 split and the 100% commission for sales. I know you guys talked about the different incentives for both ends, but for somebody who's just starting in this, who's just about to take on their first outside salesperson, do you think it makes a difference, 50-50 or 100?
Do you still do your compensation thing?
Yeah, I do, and I actually asked this question this year because there's been a lot of talk about commission only versus some kind of salary up front too. And I asked them how they get paid, and still most of them are 50-50, and I said, how would you wish you were paid? And a lot of them said they would like the salary plus commission. So I think the younger people coming into the industry too, from other industries, as Andy said, it gives this industry a bad name, the commission only. That's kind of, I don't know, in my opinion. Yes.
Well, it also makes you feel like the company's not willing to even invest a little
bit
in you.
Right. So I think some companies are starting to go that way. Some companies are still hell-bent on commission only. So you'll have like a variation.
And, I know in other sales, like my husband's in radio sales, they'll offer, a salary for the first year that progressively goes down as you start making commission. And then it goes down to eventually it is commission only. But, you've presumably been given accounts and given a year or so to get yourself up to speed. And, I think that's common in some other sales in industries.
Even like a draw for like a few months.
Yeah, it really also depends on your salespeople and their experience. If you do have somebody that has a book of business and, you're hiring them from an existing industry company, they probably don't necessarily want that salary.
Yeah,
they want to make their own money.
And they're used to it.
Right. So if they're – and as a new salesperson gets more experienced in the industry, they might in some ways shun the salary portion as well because they'll see it as limiting them in many ways. It kind of – you almost need some individualistic comp plans. That's not always easy to do, but at a smaller company, it certainly is. If you only have – between 1 and 5 reps, it is easy enough to do some individual compensation plans for depending on the different experience that they have.
I guess the other question would be, are you going to give them any clients? Like, are you going to give up some of your clients, for instance, and give them to them? So, that would make a difference too. If they're going to start out with business, then that might be an incentive. But if not, if they have to just start from zero, I would think that a younger, newer salesperson would need some kind of salary at the beginning.
As you should, by the way. That's an interesting point. If you are hiring a new rep, specifically one that's coming from outside the industry, and you're the owner of a company and you have your own clients, give up some of those clients immediately to the new rep. Let that person service these clients that obviously you'll be, holding their hand through the process and being there, but I would imagine your whole point in hiring a rep would be to service these clients and to find new ones while you go out and do other things. Could be in addition to finding other new clients, new partners, whatever that is. But the point is to free yourself up and to give them clients to get experience with. So absolutely give up some of your clients to any new sales reps that you hire.
Okay, great. Thanks. Well,
good luck, Steve. Thanks. And stay on the line for your Visa gift card. Okay. On line three, we have Suzanne. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. How about you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. So I was wondering, I'm looking to hire a salesperson to my staff, and I was wondering what you recommend. Should I look inside the industry or out when I'm trying to find somebody?
I'm going to say out. I'm tired of looking at the same people. I need new people to drink with. Damn it.
Well, there you have it.
I think it would be good to have new people in the
Well, you know, we did have, you know, at last week's Power Summit, we did have a discussion about this in versus out. And, you know, we had a demographer there from BYU who talked about the changing face of America. And the reality was, you know, when you look around the room at the Power Summit and you look at the industry, you know, it doesn't match America and, mm-hmm. you know, tomorrow's buyer. I mean, it's predominantly white industry. A lot of people in, I'd say, middle age. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, but to Michelle's point, if you want to hire people that are going to match your clients, you're going to need to look for young people and more diverse mm-hmm. groups. So I would vote for going outside of the industry, too, for that reason.
And as sure. an outsider, I can legitimately say that you bring a fresh perspective and a clean slate.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Stay on the line for your ASI prize pack. And we have another caller on line 4. That is Jim. Good morning.
Good morning.
Jim, do you have any ideas on this topic?
Some of the thoughts that I've heard, we tend to go after some of our clients as potential sales staff. Someone who's already, who's buying the product already, so they have a sense that they know a little bit about the industry, even though they really don't. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
And we've also, from a commission point of view, I usually suggest when we bring on a member to our staff is they do it in a part-time basis, mm-hmm. Not to come on, not to, you know, to leave a job unless they're completely unhappy or they happen to be unemployed. And even then, I want them to do it part-time to make sure it's the right thing.
Sure.
I mean, you can go months and not necessarily click for you, but if it is something that you enjoy or you're able to do, the average person can make a fairly decent living, even if they're not at a higher level or a higher executive level leaving a company. Mm-hmm. Even just selling, you know, 1,000 pens, they can make a couple $100. And I think they see that. So I think the commission problem isn't as big as people state it, unless you are trying to bring somebody off the street and they want to start making a living for their family. That's a difficult hire there, too.
Sure.
But I still think the part-time bringing the people on, make sure that they can work for your firm, be successful, and it just seems to work out better for us. We have over half a dozen part-timers, and a couple have weaned their way off over the years and become full-timers, but they all seem to make a pretty good living on it, even on a part-time basis, working evenings and later in the day.
That's great, and it is an option for people who need a flexible, you know, mm-hmm. a flexible schedule as well. Great.
And even from a part-time basis, if they pick up a couple $100 a week, it's not a terrible thing.
That's true.
Both
Absolutely.
Sides are winning. From a corporate level, I'm happy to take it.
Yeah.
And if they're able to pick up $200 a week or $10,000 to $20,000 to their income already, again, not a bad thing.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I know a lot of stay-at-home moms whose kids are now in school, you know, and they've got 6 or 7
exactly.
hours a day where they're looking to make some money, but they can't commit to a 40-hour work week.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and a lot of those people, you know, had great careers or were in sales before, and I would think they would be a target, too, for that kind of part-time situation.
Right.
Okay, well, thanks for your ideas, Jim. We appreciate your call. Stay on the line for your ASI radio prize pack.
Thank you very much.
We are going to pause for a message from today's show sponsor, AIA, and when we return, Kathy is going to give us 5 steps to keeping your top performers.
Where do you see your business in the next 5 years? Do you believe that you have all the support and tools to reach your goals? With AIA, your vision can become reality. AIA understands that not all businesses are the same. They work with you to craft a customized, individual plan that develops your business in a way that's best for you and the professional life you want to create, regardless of where your business is in its life cycle. When you become part of the AIA community, you have the resources, talent, and expertise of a robust organization at your fingertips, all while keeping your business and your clients. The offer? A simple agreement with no non-compete provisions, no money up front, no monthly or transactional fees, and no technology fees. One simple rate, period. Contact AIA today, 877-212-7324 or www.aiacommunity.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. Wow, I just looked over and everybody on this side of the room is wearing glasses. And all the ladies here are not wearing glasses. How cool are we? What does that say?
Super.
What does that say about us?
You don't look as smart as us. People with glasses look smart. Whether we are or we aren't, doesn't make a difference. We look that way.
That's right.
All right. Well, Kathy, you've got some steps to keeping your top performers.
Yeah, this is from Inc. magazine, and one of them is keep them entertained.
Not like you do, Melinda, singing songs and
I can
stuff
tap.
Like that. No, one
Michelle
reason
has a margarita machine.
Well, yeah, there you go.
It takes a village to get it started, though.
They're talking more about these employees. These high performers are really smart and interested and curious about a lot of things. So you have to give them something new and interesting to do. So satisfy that need by giving them a constant stream of interesting assignments and projects.
Okay.
Give them visibility. Everybody wants to be recognized. So invite them to lead high-profile teams or participate in management offsite meetings and encourage them to make connections with other high performers as well and work on projects with them mm-hmm. in collaboration. Provide them with mentors. Your top employees will benefit from being assigned to a mentor who can help provide advice, career guidance, and connections to others in the industry and their network. Find senior employees who have a real knack for engaging with younger people and giving them advice and support. And this is a really important one. Create clear pathways for growth and advancement. Make your employees think that they will have opportunities for advancement or see that they'll have opportunities. Because if they don't see a future in your organization or future growth, they're obviously going to look for other opportunities. Sure. So be sure that you have a career plan set for them and talk about it with them.
Sure. Except people like you and I, Kath, who just don't care.
Tammy, here we are with my glasses.
Tammy, you heard some of these as a new ASI employee. What do you think is the most important of those tips?
Keep people interested.
Uh-huh.
Definitely have a plan outlined.
Sure.
And set specific goals that are relatable and reachable.
Mm-hmm. Good. Right.
Good.
Very
you
good,
win
Tammy.
You get a gold star for your participation today.
Give her a finger puppet.
I was just going to say, I prefer a finger puppet.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
But which one?
Yes.
All of them.
Very good. Good answer.
That was way too diplomatic.
You're going to get out your cell phone and call. Yes.
All right, Michelle, we have 1 minute for this segment. The case for drinking at work, I noticed on Friday an email from you saying that the margarita machine was being fired up.
Yep.
So obviously you believe in this. Why should people drink at work?
Believe it or not, there was a study done where basically they pulled in, one company pulled in staffers and just made them drink. And what they did was
drink.
They gauged.
Isn't that an HR problem?
Made them drink?
They gauged how creative they were after how many drinks. So basically when they went off the rails, when it went too much and they were just useless.
Well, yeah.
Okay. What they found was basically 2.5 drinks. 2.5 drinks is the limit. Right there you get creative ideas. You get a lot of brainstorming, you get a lot of incentivizing, you get a lot of really interesting.
But how do you take that third drink away from them when they're halfway done with it?
That's the key, though, because then it just devolves into
right.
silly, sloppy.
I think 1.5 drinks would do it for me.
I love you, man. Really, I love you.
That's interesting. You know what? I'm sure that you've got more details there. We're going to put that online and let people decide for themselves whether this is a good idea or not. ASICentral.com/radio. But Michelle, I know people love your margarita parties.
Well, for sure, it's definitely team building. I mean, we don't break out the margarita machine often.
Don't do it for brainstorming. We do it for fun.
We do. But it's definitely, it definitely promotes team building and, people come together.
People
outside
do,
of our office.
And then they do start talking inevitably about work. And I know that Andy's come up with some creative ideas over drinks.
Well, he's drunk.
Never.
He doesn't remember them.
Never.
All right. We have time, just enough time in this show for the editors to talk about their favorite products of the week. Kathy Houston, what do you have?
Well, mine is a good product for drinking at work, ironically.
Okay.
It's the brand new Mason drink bottle with a colored lid and matching straw from ETS Express, ASI 51197. It looks like a cute little Mason jar.
That does.
And it holds a lot of alcohol.
The ladies had
it.
All right.
A lot of alcohol.
Andy, what
I'm
do
not
you
sure
have?
That's what
or
it was
water.
Made for, but all is good. All right, I just got a new bike, so I could use one of these. It is a water resistant.
You got a new bike?
I did, yeah. Water resistant. I'll send
you
a picture.
You biked.
Yeah. Welcome. Welcome to my world. Water-resistant bicycle safety light. Check it out online now at asicentral.com/radio. It comes from Golden Lion, which is ASI 57657.
Was it a 10-speed?
It's a mountain bike.
Ooh.
Not that I'll
mountain
be on
man.
Many mountains.
Okay, Joe,
but
what do you have?
It is a mountain
I have
bike.
A travel water bottle for your pet. So how it works is you put your water in here, and when they need a drink,
aww,
you
the pet can't
just
out of that. Oh,
there's a little notch here that opens up the nozzle. This fills with the water. They have a nice little drink. It's great for anyone in the pet industry and municipalities who are opening dog parks, and they're opening all over the place. One just opened in Abington. You can get this from Sanders Manufacturing, ASI 84820, and you can find them online at www. SandersMFG.com.
Michelle, what do you have?
Actually, I was going to do the mason jar.
Oh, like stop.
Really? I totally was, but I went with another one from ETS Express as well. And mine is the Spirit Vacuum, and it's this sleek stainless drink cup. And it's really
kind
of cool. And it comes in matte black and silver. And it's from, as
for
you said.
For a minute, I thought you were going to have a vacuum, which doesn't seem like something that you would tout.
No. ETSExpress.com.
No, because there are other people for that.
All right. Thanks, guys. We're out of time. Thanks today for everyone listening. Thanks to our show sponsor, AIA. And tune in same time, same place next week. Have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.